welcome back to Gospel Life, where the goal each week is to give you some helpful tips and tidbits for keeping the main thing of the gospel the main thing in your life. My name is Mark Fodale, and it's my privilege to walk alongside of you on this journey. Last week, we began to unpack the practice of spending regular, even daily, personal time in the Word of God. And in that episode, we looked at the practice of daily devotions and discussed the reality that though we are free and even encouraged to make this a part of our everyday routine, we are not compelled or commanded by the Scriptures. And the portion of last week's episode that I think summarized our training in this area is captured by this brief excerpt. Here it is. As far as the practice or discipline or habit of daily devotions, let me bottom line you, get to spend time in the Word each day. But just because you get to, it doesn't mean you have to. Did you hear that? You are free to have a daily quiet time, but you are not commanded or compelled. You are invited to come, but you are not required to attend. Well, that was last week, and now hopefully the effect of that episode was to free you from the burden of daily time in the Word, while at the same time increasing your desire to spend time in the Bible as often as you can. You know, as I mentioned on an earlier episode of Gospel Life, it's an amazing reality that in the life of a Christian, while the gospel propels us, the law often repels us. That is, when we're driven by a sense of duty or guilt, the law, our desires seem to wander and weaken. Whereas, when we are drawn by a sense of grace and gratitude for all that has been done for us by Christ and who we now are in Christ, the gospel, our desires and even our practices seem to, they seem to strengthen and grow. And so, even as you and I consider the great privilege it is to have God's Word and be able to read and study God's Word, we must work, you heard that right, work to be motivated first and foremost by the gospel. Remember, the gospel alone bids us fly and then gives us wings. Okay, so now, today, let's consider how to use those wings in terms of the topic at hand, spending time in the Word. So, let's assume the stage is set. You're exercising your freedom and your joy in Christ to open your Bible. You know, it's you and God time. You're ready, you're eager, you're grateful. So, here's the question. What's your goal? What are you after? In other words, what do you want from your time in the Word? What is it that if you get it, will make that time a success? And maybe what is it that if it is missing, it'll tempt you to think that the time was less than worth, well, it? Those are the questions I really want to press into today. And let me begin by suggesting a sad reality. And it's this. The goals we are often after in our time in the Word, they may be good, but they often fall far short of gospel best. What I mean is this. What we often want out of our time in the Word can actually circumvent and undermine the main thing we should desire. And this often leads, at least in the long run, to lack of motivation and desire. Now, perhaps an example from my own life might help flesh this out. You see, for many years, my goal in my personal time in the Word was simple, to learn to grow as a Christian. Or, as I grew, to study the Bible more deeply so that I knew more about it. And so, when I opened the Word, I was driven by two questions. Lord, how can I serve you better? And Lord, how can I understand your Word more? Now, perhaps this reflects the way many of you approach your Bible time. God, help me to understand me, and God, help me to understand your Word. So I would diligently apply the Bible steps of OIA, you know, observation, interpretation, application. And I would look for areas in which I needed to repent, and I would search for new ways to serve God and be faithful in my walk and talk as a Christian. Now, to be clear, I love OIA, and I'm fully and deeply persuaded that as Christians, the Word of God is given to inform and direct our loves and lives and labors. I mean, no doubt about it. However, something else happened some years ago that brought to light that I had inadvertently made secondary things to be primary. That's right, I had let the main thing no longer be the main thing. And it all started with a magazine my roommate in college had left out that I picked up and began to glance through. And boy, I'm really dating myself with that example, aren't I? You know, as I recall, even to this day, the author of that article suggested that amidst all the good things that should be involved in a personal time in the Word of God, there was one best thing that should always rise to the top of the list. And then he quoted King David in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Oh, I tell you, there it was. The primary goal in studying the Word, the main thing, was to behold the beauty of the Lord. Wow! How could I have missed that? See, the first goal as we approach the Word of God is to spend time with the God of the Word, to embrace the reality that first and foremost, the Scriptures are the self-revelation of God to His people, and therefore to allow that self-revelation to be the main focus. And that means I and you, we should approach time in the Bible with these questions leading the way. God, what does this passage say about you? Where is your beauty revealed? Where are your purposes and plans made clear? Where is your justice proclaimed? Where is your grace displayed? I mean, friends, think about it. Time in God's Word is meant to be primarily about God. You see, as I read that article on that day, it became uncomfortably clear I had made time in the Scripture all about me. Now, in one sense, that wasn't all that surprising, because in my sin, I like to make just about everything about myself in some way. I mean, don't you? But that day, my unstated but now fully exposed goals for my time in the Word had been made clear, and they were enormously self-centered. Hey, God, thanks for the time together. Now tell me about me. What do I need to do? Where am I off track? And that day, as I was unmasked, the focus began to shift. More and more, my first question as I opened the Word was, Lord, would you tell me about you? I just want to behold your beauty. Now, here are some thoughts as we closed. Certainly, the Word is a means for us to be convicted and trained and encouraged and equipped in all righteousness. Of course. Certainly, we should study the Word deeply and accurately to mine all the depths of what solid Bible study can reveal. Of course. But I wonder if, before we do any of that, we should spend time beholding God in His Word. And could it be that if that's all we, quote, get out of it, to use a common phrase, well, that should be quite good enough. Now, just to close the loop with our podcast from last week, please know that this encouragement to behold God first in your time with Him is an invitation. It's not a requirement or a demand. Be drawn to God by the gratitude that flows from the gospel, rather than any thunderings that might echo from the law or from guilt. And as you do, I'm going to pray that what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 34, verse 8, would be true of your time in the Scriptures. He wrote this, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.